Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, are you okay?
Yeah, Patrick. Are you okay?
Yeah, I was just worried that you didn't know
what was going on. We should try that last part again?
Yeah. Let's try the whole thing again.
Oh, okay. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, are you okay?
Yes, Patrick. Are you okay?
Yeah, I was just worried you didn't know
what was going on.
All right, let's try it like this. 3, 2, 1.
What was going on? Did that work?
Try it again.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
What was going on?
There it is. It's even better.
More fan mail today, Patrick.
Great.
I gotta tell you before we get into the correspondence, we got a box here.
Really?
Yeah, we got a box here from
fabulous
from our friend Jeff Niebuhr.
Ah.
Who was just on the show with a couple episodes last week, I think.
And his son.
And his son, Robert, yep. So Jeff sent us like a half dozen of his CD. The My Forever DJ Southern Hotspots CD that we've talked about on the show.
And fantabulous.
Like six of them here. There's some coasters. Look at this, coasters.
What?
There's some stickers.
Love stickers.
There's a t-shirt.
Wow.
I know. Some really cool stuff. And he had a nice note in here. Let's see. He says, it's safe to say there may have never been the My Forever DJ project if it were not for Rockin' the Suburbs podcast.
That's what
he says. I'm not making this up.
Wow.
He says, since the old show, you all have helped me to rediscover the joy of making joyful noise. So it's really nice. And
that's all that matters,
Jeff. He sent a bunch
of
stuff here. And I think he mentions here that I'm his favorite. I think that's part of it. Okay. So anyway, Jen says Jeff and Diane. So there we go. So here's what we're going to do with these CDs.
Yeah. We have to do something with this. Yeah.
Well, so I think we'll start this up, right? We talked about... we'll do a random drawing for everyone who is signed up for our newsletter.
Right.
So go to suburbspod.com, click on newsletter, put in your email address, sign up for our weekly newsletter, which you should do anyway because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and that comes to your inbox once a week, usually on Fridays. And anyone who's signed up, if you're already signed up, you'll be in. But if you sign up now, you'll also be in. So it's, you know, old customers, new customers all get the same deals. And... and then we'll do a random drawing, and you know, like once a week, and send out these CDs of My Forever DJ. Does that sound good?
Sounds great, Jim. And I'll tell you guys, just sign up for the newsletter. It's totally free. Comes Friday afternoon, and sometimes you'll learn that I like carrots, bananas, and long walks on the beach, and so does some of the dogs that are pets of the week. So you get a pet of the week. All right.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying.
All right. And people really win on Rockin'
the
Suburbs.
You can really win.
Yes.
Rockin' the Suburbs. Yeah.
Okay.
These are not actors.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Jeff, for that. Okay. So we mentioned the name of the show, and I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
There you go. And this, now that we're getting back into listener correspondence, this is Mackenzie Crenshaw.
Yep.
What's up, Jim and Patrick? It's Mackenzie Crenshaw here. Of course, I have something to say about Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. I laughed out loud when I heard y'all say that. I feel very seen and very heard, though, and I get to rant about this album for like 3 minutes. So it'll be fun for everybody, I think. Y'all hit on most of the stuff I would say. Shout out to Mike with the history. Really nailed it, and like shout out for even bringing this up as a topic in the first place. I do think one of the things I want to hit on is like this is to me one of the first like fully realized concept albums in soul music. And I think Marvin really opened the door for that to become more commonplace in primarily with like social issues is the focal point or is the content. Motown had like political songs prior to this, not a lot, but they had some. Ball of Confusion by The Temptations, War by Edwin Starr. You obviously had songs, you know, by A Change is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke and I'll Say Aloud I'm Black and Proud by James Brown. But after What's Going On, you start getting albums like Superfly by Curtis Mayfield and The World is a Ghetto by War. And so you start seeing kind of fully fleshed out, realized concept albums about social issues within the Black community. And so I think that this album is really important in that kind of way. And I think the other thing, and of course you hit on it, is how resonant this album is. I mean, I discovered it as like a freshman, sophomore in college, 2015, 2016, during the election cycle. And I listened to this album like almost daily because it just seemed to speak to the uncertainty that like I had in the moment. And Marvin does just a great job of balancing this want to be pessimistic and like seeing the world as like essentially destroying in front of your eyes. You hear this on a song like something like Inner City Blues, for example. But then you also have these moments on the album where like he does have some hope, or like he at least imagines a world that could be better. A song like God is Love, which is also maybe my favorite song on the album, hot take. It's so good. The instrumentation is beautiful, but you know, that moment of hope that's about midway through the album, like, I think that that balance and flirting between the lines of like just giving up, but then also wanting to work towards something better was what I was feeling in the moment. And it just perfectly captured that. And I think the fact that I was so attached to this album and that it's resonant with my other friends who kind of grew up in this post 9/11 world and an economic recession. And then, of course, kind of really coming of age and in the Trump presidency. I just think that one is kind of upsetting, right? And like Marvin's vision of the future, unfortunately, is kind of coming true, and that this album is still relevant. I also think, though, that's why it might have been rated number one at Rolling Stone in their last album track listing, which I saw some hot takes about that. But I think there's something to be said about an album that is still so personal to people. Even if it is an album of the moment, like it should be a relic of 1971, and yet it's still so real to a lot of the people who listen to it. And I think that that's part of the magic of it, whether Marvin intended that to be the outcome or not. And I hope 100 years from now, people's heart is attached and it can be seen as kind of an artifact. But in the moment, right now, it's everything. So thank you for letting me rant. This was a great reprieve from my day.
Totally, and totally double down on what Mackenzie said about Mike bringing that topic up and getting the history and all that. And you know what I found really interesting, Jim, about what Mackenzie said was when she said it paved the way for others to make a full-fledged political record, right? So
yes.
What's going on is not a full-fledged political record. I mean, I think Marvin, you know, knew he was taking a risk when he was stepping outside of the boundaries to make this record, right? There was a lot of things going on in 71, and obviously we've covered this. Go listen to the whole podcast about this record, but that's a key statement. Empowerment is a very important theme about this record, and it lets other people say, all right, he took it this far, we're going to take it all the way. Such a great observation by Mackenzie, and you know, there, I'd love to, you know, have people call in to follow up with this to say, like, what are albums that built on what's going on? You know, I'd love to follow that chain down the line.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. One thing I find interesting about music that's based on political statement or social commentary or what have you is there's kind of, for the most part, there's kind of two ways to go. You can either, as a songwriter, write in sort of like general terms.
Yep.
Or you can write about something very specific that's happening.
Right.
At the time. Right.
Right. Right.
And you would think now, you know, and there's been a lot of great ones that are sort of general in nature. Like I think of a song like Imagine, for example.
Yep.
You know, when tragedy strikes somewhere in the world, or I think this may have even happened with 9/11, like people sort of gravitated toward Imagine.
Yeah.
You know, it's a song that makes you feel like the world can sort of come together in some way, right?
And right.
It speaks to sort of our higher ideals as a human race, right?
Absolutely.
But there's something about protest music that when it's specific, you would think it wouldn't hold up over time, but it kind of does because yeah. It's that whole idea of like, you kind of have to know your history so you don't repeat it again, right?
Right.
So
right.
I'll
right.
give you a specific example of this. And I think it's kind of in line with what she was talking about how the Marvin Gaye record sounds relevant today, even though it's so specifically in many ways about what was going on, you know, with the Vietnam War and such, right? Along those same lines, in I want to say it was 2017, so not too long after the 2016 election,
right?
I saw Jason Isbell play at Wolf Trap, and for one of his encores, he and his band played this absolutely blistering version of Ohio, the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song, right? And even though that is a song that could is so specific about an event, I mean, it's written like literally about the Kent State shootings, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's about this very specific event from decades ago, everybody kind of knew why he played it and what he was really trying to say with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so there's, it's such a funny thing how we can take a piece like that and immediately just place it in, and it still has something to say to us as listeners in a modern context.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's not a history lesson in that context. It's telling you something about the world you live in now.
Right. And I, Jim, that's such a great insight. And I think, you know, what resonates with me about that too is that also at the time, you weren't planning to do that, but you felt it
right.
as a deep, you know, tent pole, you know, like spine tingling event. And you just wrote about it the best way you could. So,
well said,
man. Well said.
Okay. Let's see here. Next up on Marvin Gaye, we have Marion Cones, who sent us a tweet and says, this came out, speaking of what's going on, she said, this came out in high school, waiting for my brother's draft number to come up. Escalating war, politicians lying about Vietnam, troubled times. Mercy, Mercy Me was another sign of the times. How far have we really come from those days? So
that's
there you
a,
go. Another
that's
one
a,
says it.
Yeah, great troubling question.
Still resonates, yeah.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Our things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are alive. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be. to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more be used from
me? This one's a little bit long, but let me, but bear with me here for a second. It's from Mark Neese in Lansing, Michigan.
Absolutely.
Posted this on Facebook, and he said, listening to what's going on, I had an epiphany, or maybe I just think it's an epiphany. maybe I actually heard it or read it somewhere, and now I believe it to be an original theory. Anyway, the album starts with Marvin, or the character Marvin is portraying, greeting friends, Mel Farr and Len Barney of the Detroit Lions, before launching into the title track, What's Going On. It's a summation of the sad state of affairs in 1971, which may as well be 2021 as well.
There you go.
We can also hear conversation and laughter in the background as if we're at a get-together or a party. The second song, What's Happening, Brother, is told from the perspective of a returning Vietnam vet asking how everyone is doing and relating his struggles. We are still at the party. And then one of them, possibly the vet, starts flying high in the friendly sky without ever leaving the ground. The next five songs are the most orchestral and floating songs on the album. They range from the spiritual, philosophical, ecological, and plea to save the babies. Basically, these are the musings of a person who is high and picturing a better world, probably under the influence of some drug or other. The reverie ends when the longest song, Right On, concludes. The final track, Inner City Blues, Make Me Wanna Holler, returns the listener to harsh reality. The high has worn off, and the folks at the party must face the cruel world again. What's Going On envisions a better planet, but is well aware of what a mess humanity is in reality. Do yourselves a favor and give What's Going On a listen. It's a great album, and if you made it to the end of this post, thank you. Let me know what you think. So, thank you for that, Mark. I think it was a good, observation about the album as a whole work.
Shoo, Mark. Here's what I'll say. What I think is, I won't speak about what you just wrote because it's beautiful, and I'll let it just be, man. Really nice.
Yeah. Okay. Now, one more topic today. We're going to have a couple of notes here about Leon Russell. That was a patron episode we did with Scott Parks.
Scott Parks.
Yep. Jason Goble writes, so it's a rainy Saturday during the 4th of July weekend, and after a long, tough week of work, I am catching up on the podcast. Really enjoyed the entire week, the Kalamazoo songs and What's Going On, but this email is about Leon Russell. Thanks, Scott Parks, for the great topic. Leon Russell was an artist's artist. I was introduced in college to Mad Dogs and Englishmen, but never realized until much later that he was the band leader of that great band. He was a big part of the Concert for Bangladesh show. Elton John loved the guy and did that fabulous The Union album with him. The guy wrote some great songs. Personal confession, in 2011, I happened to stumble upon him at a music festival. It was a fantastic performance, and I saw him do A Song for You and thought it was a cover. It wasn't until I Googled the song post-show that I learned he wrote this classic. And like Joe Cocker, the guy was a great interpreter of music, which I learned more about on your episode. For instance, I never knew about that fantastic Hollis Brown cover, and it was also from your podcast that I learned about the great album he did with Willie Nelson. I saw The Light as a staple of Willie Nelson concerts, and I did not realize that the version that Willie does was born from this duet. The bottom line is that Leon Russell was criminally underrated, even by me. Thanks for shining the spotlight on him. All right. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Jason. And, you know, I agree. I think even among music heads, right, Jim, that people that are checking out music all the time and scouring the bargain bins and listening and buying and all that sometimes feel like, oh, here's a guy who's like a career musician and all that. But, I mean, he did a lot of amazing stuff. He learned from what he was going through. He interpreted it in his own songs. And I don't know. He's a treasure. Yeah, American treasure.
Yeah. Okay, and then let's finish this up here with a Facebook comment from Kurt Gallagher. Kurt says, I joined one of those crazy record clubs in the 70s, receiving a dozen albums of my choice for 99 cents. You had to return a form by snail mail declining the monthly record of the month, yep. or you got stuck with a bill for $14.99
yep.
and an album that you usually didn't want. That's how I ended up with Breezin' by George Benson. The 14-year-old me was not willing to waste 15 bucks, so I started listening to Breezin' until I liked it. The first song I remember falling in love with was This Masquerade. The adult me thinks it may have been my earliest deep dive into minor tonality. The 14-year-old me had no idea what was going on. Anyhow, I always loved that song, and I never skipped it when it turned up. Fast forward to 2021, I had no idea that it was a Leon Russell song. I do remember hearing Tightrope on the radio when I was 10, but I was totally unaware that This Masquerade was the flip side or a track on the album that Tightrope came from. Thanks to Scott Parks, I have now heard the original version. I've listened to both several times this week and have to say I prefer the Leon Russell version by a lot. The Benson version is a little too look at me, and the charm of the scat vocals with blues scales wears off quickly. Although I gotta admit, he does do an amazing Stevie Wonder inspired vocal performance. It's just all too technical to my adult ears. Russell's performance is 100% from the heart, and that type of raw emotional authenticity beats technical skill every time, in my humble opinion. Thanks to Scott and Rockin' the Suburbs. All right, how about that?
That's beautiful.
What a great
really
note.
Is. Yeah, really, really nice. And Jim, I'm just so glad these topics, you know, hit people where they live, and they come from the patrons. So that's
right.
Kind of the, you know, the best thing about it.
That's right. So, all right. And Kurt, I wonder if you still have that George Benson record. Is it still in your collection? Let us know. Breezin. All right. Thanks very much. We love the correspondence from people. It's wonderful to hear from you all, and especially hear great stories.
Yeah.
That's what really makes it. Okay. All right. That wraps up this week. Let's get out of here. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lennon.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'll talk to you all later.
Yeah.
Are we really happy with this lonely game we play? Looking for words to say, searching but not finding understanding anyway. We're lost in this masquerade. Both afraid to say we're just too far away from being close together from the start. We're trying to talk.
I hope you all are having a great summer, staying safe. See ya on the flip side. Bye.